No, that's sunburn. Jesus. I think it literally is actually sunburn. But Jesus. Well, Happy New Year. How was your holiday? Did anyone have a holiday? You guys are like, sort of, kind of, a little bit, sort of a holiday. Cool. Who's been enjoying the sun? Who has caught a fish? A few hands in the air. Who has caught a wave? Yeah, come on. Caught a wave? Yes. Proud of you, man. 5 foot's pretty decent. That's a good wave. Wow. Who has caught some sun? Yeah, more hands went up for that one. Yep. Who has learnt the value of sunblock? I find always at the start of summer, I have one day where I learn the value of sunblock and I remember it for the rest of that summer until the next summer comes around. And winter kind of has a way of making you forget about the importance of sunblock and until summer comes around again. But hey, it's awesome to be back and Happy New Year. You guys are amazing. What a good day to come back and start the year on, our first Sunday back. And Velma, I want to say welcome home. Welcome home. So stoked. So stoked you're back. This is awesome. Dan and Liz and Marty, thanks for leading this morning. You'll notice that the majority of our worship team are not here. They haven't been raptured. But James and Sarah got married yesterday down in Auckland, and we were down there. It was an awesome. We got back at midnight, and it was just an awesome time. Who was there at the wedding? Who was there? Put your hand up if you're at the wedding. Okay, guys, I want to say one thing to you, you, and whoever else didn't put their hand up. Thank you for making it back for Sunday. Thank you for making it back for Sunday. I think you guys have done well to be back here for Sunday, so thank you. So it was awesome to see them get married, and of course, most of the worship team is still down in Auckland, and so thank you guys for being the skeleton team, the good-looking skeleton team. And it was awesome. Had such a good time and amazing just awareness of God's presence in the worship this morning. So, Jesus. I have some stuff that's stirring in my heart for this year, but I'm choosing not to share the majority of what's stirring in my heart for this year this morning because I want more of our people to be there when I do. But I do have something specific. I want to share part of what's stirring in my heart this year this morning, and I'll probably develop this message as the months go on. But I was actually driving home last night, and I was listening to some music on my headphones because the new thing on the attachment on the iPhone has caused me to not be able to listen to music through the car stereo. So, but I've got the headphones, so that's good. And I was listening to some music, and then about 10 minutes before home, I all of a sudden had this whole do-do-do-do-do-do. And I did what you're not meant to do when you drive, and I apologize if there are any traffic officers in this room. But I'm going to confess something. I kept my eyes firmly on the road, but at the same time, almost by braille, just knowing the feel of my iPhone, I started to type out on my notes, just a few notes about what to share this morning. Just started, but of course, not looking at the phone at all, just there, because you can do that. You can do that. And then someone said to me, you should just use Siri. Totally should just use Siri. But anyway, I didn't. And so I just want to share some stuff that was stirring on my heart last night. And it begins with this. I was just remembering when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I just want you to think about when you gave your heart to Jesus. And some of you maybe haven't done that. And if you haven't done that, that's cool. You can do that this morning, or you can do that whenever you feel ready to do that. But I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus, and I remember when I said my yes to Jesus. When I said the yes that had no full stop at the end. When I said the yes, that would be the yes I would say every day for the rest of eternity. I will continue to say yes. The eternal yes to Jesus. And I remember in that yes, something happened on the inside of me where I had wanted for my whole life to know God. I'd wanted for my whole life to actually have a relationship with God. And when I said that yes, something happened where God jumped onto the inside of me and I jumped onto the inside of God. There was something that happened where I felt God move from the outside of me to the inside of me. And in a split second, I could honestly and genuinely say, I know God. And I hadn't had years to develop a relationship with God yet, but in a split second, I all of a sudden knew God, and I knew that He knew me. And in that experience, what happened is this. I made a decision, and it wasn't just a half-hearted kind of everyday decision. It was a covenantal decision. I made a decision to trust Jesus with the fullness of my life, with the allness of my life. And He, in return, said, I am trusting you with my life. We made a covenant together on that day. We made a covenant. And covenant is awesome. Covenant is amazing. Covenant is rich. Covenant is full. Covenant is the only way to go forward. And covenant is weighty. Covenant involves responsibility. Covenant involves you no longer belong to you anymore. And in that covenant, this is what happened. And this is, and there's, you know, there's, it would be like a year-long conference to just talk about the fullness of what covenant truly is. But if I can just mention one element of covenant, covenant is this. Covenant is, I say, God, here is my heart and everything that is important to me. I am choosing to take this heart out of my chest and place it into your chest. And then God says, Matt, here is my heart and everything that is precious to me. I am choosing to take this out of my chest and place it into your chest. I want you to walk with my heart in your chest, and I will choose every day to walk with your heart in my chest. And everything I do, I will do with your heart and mind, and everything you do, I'm asking that you would do it with my heart and mind. And that's covenant. And that's what James and Sarah did yesterday. They made a covenant to carry one another's hearts with integrity, with care, with kindness, with love, with compassion, and with mindfulness. And that's what we've done with the Lord. We've actually made a covenant where we are now sharing one another's hearts as if God's heart were my own heart. And He holds my heart as if it was His own heart. In other words, if it's important to you, it's important to God. If it's precious to you, you can be rest assured this morning it's more precious to Him than it is to you. Because He cares more for your heart than you even do for your heart. But if it's precious to Him, I don't want to shoot on anyone here, but if it's precious to Him, it should be precious to you. And there's this responsibility that we enter into when we enter into a covenant with God, where we make this decision. And I think 2019, something that's happening in 2019 is this decision is becoming more conscious. It's becoming more intentional. Is that when we make a covenant with the Lord, what we say every day is, God, if it's precious to your heart, I make it precious to mine. If it is important to you, Lord, it becomes important to me. If it wasn't important to me before, or if that person wasn't important to me before, or if that person was a moron to me before, or if that person deeply frustrated me before, or if that person offended me, or if that person blah, 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 you fill in the gap. I am choosing to forgive that person for this sake, because that person is important to you and precious to you. And I am holding your heart in my chest, and I am stewarding what's precious to you in me. That's part of what covenant is. You guys okay? Sorry, I didn't start with any jokes. Everyone's serious. I apologize for the lack of humor in the beginning of my message. Shivers. I figured I've only got a few minutes, you know, because we're doing the supersized Sundays, which I think is like, that's kind of confusing advertising, because supersized Sundays to me means let's take 3 hours for the message. And you guys are like, Zach's like, oh no, buddy, I've got to go surfing after this. No, super shrunk Sundays. Honey, I shrunk the Sunday, yeah. And so the first miracle of the year is going to be Matt's going to preach short. So we have covenant where God's heart lives in your chest and your heart lives in God's chest. That's pretty awesome. In other words, your heart is in the safest place in the universe. And so if it's important to you, it's important to him. And hey, this is amazing because you don't need to be afraid anymore. You can actually trust God with your desires. You can trust that your desires are kept safe in the safest place in the entire universe. That is pretty awesome. Your dreams, the purpose of your life, your deep longings are kept safe in him. That's amazing. And he has trusted his deep longings into you. That's a responsibility. That's a responsibility that should, that well, it gives me kind of a sense of kind of the fear of the Lord. And man, we're carrying around some glory. We're carrying around some weight of responsibility that is a joy and a responsibility at the same time. And then with that, here's something else I want to say. So covenant, everyone say covenant. Over here, language. Proverbs 18:21 says this, that the tongue, your tongue, holds the power of life and death. The words that come out of your mouth, that they either destroy or they give life. They either partner with the devil and his plan to destroy, or with God and his plan to bring abundant life on the planet. Our words either steward life or destroy life. Our words either destroy God's heart or take away from God's heart and dreams and desires, or they steward and bring to pass God's heart and desires. Our God is life. God is the light of the world. He is life. And the tongue in your mouth has the power to bring life or death, depending on how we choose to use it. And here's the thing. It is literally how we choose to use it. And God will not control how you use your tongue. But he will present you through me this morning a challenge in 2019 to use your tongue wisely, to use your words wisely and to weigh your words before you speak, and to check your ears before you listen to what people might be saying. Because you literally have the power of life and death in your tongue. You have the power, and in the context of this church right here, in your tongue, you have the power to destroy what God's doing in this church. And I'm not saying that because I believe anyone in here is, but I'm saying it because you have the capacity to do that. Every person in this room, you have the capacity to destroy what God's doing in this church. And you have the capacity to add life to what God's doing in this church. In your conversations in coffee this week with people, you have the capacity in your mouth, through your words, to pull down what God's doing or to build up what God's doing. You have the capacity to impart life or to impart discouragement and death. In everything you do, in every conversation you have, even the conversations you have with words that don't quite make it to your tongue, that just remain in your head. The ones that haven't shot out of the gun yet. You have the capacity to bring life or death. And I just want to present that as, hey, you have been entrusted, and I have been entrusted to carry God's own heart. And he has trusted us to that degree to say, here is my heart, walk with it. I trust you with it. And your words have the capacity to steward that trust or to destroy that. And so I'm saying that because I want to wholeheartedly say this. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. And be mindful what comes out of your mouth. And be intentional with what comes out of your mouth. And be intentional with and mindful and aware of what you're listening to from others. And if you hear words that are death coming from others, you don't need to pull that person down to stop them talking those words. But you can choose to say, hey, I'm not actually comfortable listening to that. But that might make that person feel uncomfortable. It's better than hurting the heart of God. Hey, listen, I can see that there's some pain there. I can see there's a reason that you're saying this stuff, but I'm actually not comfortable listening to this right now. I'm actually not going to listen to this right now. Because it doesn't feel, these words don't fit, I don't feel life in these words. That post on Facebook, I don't feel life in that post. I'm not going to listen to that. We've got to be, I believe that there's a call to be careful with what we listen to and careful with what we speak from our mouth. And it's all to do with stewarding the heart of God and stewarding the covenant that you've been entrusted with. Let me just share an example. A long time ago, in this example, I will share no names. And in this example, I would ask you, even though I'm pretty sure some of you will try and figure it out anyway, but I would ask you to not try and figure out who this person or these people were, because it won't do you any good anyway. And also, you probably won't even know who these people are. So just forget about even trying to figure out who is Matt talking about, because for a start, it doesn't even matter. And secondly, you probably don't know. So just don't worry about it. And I'm saying this knowing that every person in this room is presented with the same challenge that I have been continually presented with. And that is, we live in a community. We live in a beautiful world that God created. We have this relationship with this perfect and wonderfully, extremely loving God who is patient and kind and all the rest of it. And that is incredible. There's nothing lacking in our relationship with God from His end to us. But here's something that is true. We live in a world with other humans, as Renee mentioned, and other broken humans like you and I. And broken people have the tendency to sometimes break people. And hurt people have the tendency to sometimes hurt other people. Oh, most of the time, not intentionally, but unintentionally or intentionally, it doesn't matter. It's still, we get hurt when we live in community. The answer is not to isolate. The answer is to learn what to do when you're in pain, how to deal with the pain. Because isolation will do you way worse. We're born for community, but to live in community, we have to understand, man, that's sometimes not easy. And the Bible doesn't say if offense comes, it says when offense comes. In other words, if you're alive, you will be offended. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to partner with life or death when you're offended? I'm sharing that because we're a church, guys. This is kind of like just an in-house kind of just a family chat this morning. But we're a church. For goodness sake, we're a church. We are a community of people. We're a community of humans that misunderstand each other and that haven't got perfect communication skills. And we will get offended. I guarantee you'll get offended this year. I guarantee some of you in this room, I know this is hard to believe right now. Apart from Renee will believe it. It's hard to believe right now, but some of you might even get offended at me. I know. I can understand that response today, but you wait. You wait. Some of you might even get offended at me. And I'm trusting that when you get offended at me, that you will know what to do when you get offended at me. I trust I'm not going to feel daggers in my back when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, which I have felt multiple times. And you probably have too. You probably have too. You know what it feels like. We're all in the same boat. But wouldn't it be cool if we as a community learned how to not stab one another in the back? And we most of the time don't do it intentionally. But imagine if we learned how to be so intentional with our language that we never, ever stab one another in the back. And that when that happened, and unintentional as it might be, we just stopped it right there. And no one ever felt that feeling here. It'd be amazing. So here, I was a long time ago, there was someone, and I was at a place and a thing at a time, and there was a person who was doing a thing at a place at a time too, and they were a leader, and I began to get hurt by this leader, and to put it mildly, I had other words to describe it at the time, but offended, to be frustrated, sometimes angry, and hurt by this leader. And this went on for about a year, and Renee and I were married at the time, and I would come home. Renee just wants to point out, we haven't got a divorce over the holidays. We're still married. Yes! I just assumed that was obvious. And this had happened for about a year, and it was just this ongoing thing. It was like a thorn in my flesh. And when there's a thorn in your flesh, when there's pain in you, it is so tempting to entertain the enemy's agenda with that pain, with your words, with your language, and with your attitudes. And I remember coming home, and often I would just, because we for a long time have embraced a culture of vulnerability and a culture of, hey, like if something's going on in me, I want to share it. I don't want to keep it on the inside and bottle it up. But you know, my wife is my best friend, so outside of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father, and you know what I'm. But she's my best friend, and so she'd be there, and I'd be like, hey, she'd be, how was your day? And oh man. And I'd be like, you know, and I would try, and my language would be trying to talk with as much honor as I could conjure up. But still there was this underminingness of this person and then Renee's been an amazing wife, and she's trying to give me an ear, you know, trying to give me a place to share my heart because I'm being vulnerable now and we value vulnerability, and I'm sharing, but vulnerability gets dangerous when it goes from I'm feeling a bit of pain, I'm not putting any judgment on anyone else, but I'm just feeling a bit of pain. When it goes from that to this person's a dork. Obviously, because of this, 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 and this, and I've built this massive case up against this person. And look, honestly, look, for that point, that point, that point, that point, and that point, you can now clearly see how much of a dork this person is. And then I'd say at the end, oh, you know, just forget everything I just said. It's probably all rubbish. I'm just in pain. But then, of course, my wife loves me. She doesn't want to see me in pain. So she's like, gosh, that person's a dork for hurting my husband. And then, rah! And then we're like, man, chap, rah, Man, we don't even like that guy. Gee, we don't even like that guy. I don't even know if that guy's even a Christian. Gee, phew, man. Who is this guy? And we're like building up. And the atmosphere in those conversations, I noticed that those conversations would bring such a death-inspired atmosphere into our house that they would never, ever leave a good taste in your mouth. The atmosphere would always go from like, you just, hey, listen, I'm just wanting to share my heart and be vulnerable, but it would go to this venting that is actually it's actually venting, but it's disguised backstabbing. And was it intentional? No way. I would never intentionally backstab anybody. But it's just the pain speaking because of a lack of knowledge of how to deal with the pain. And then all of a sudden, we're unintentionally throwing daggers in people's backs that Jesus Christ paid a price for. And now I'm carrying the heart of God in my chest, and I'm breaking the heart that's in my chest. And I'm feeling God's brokenness and God's sadness without knowing it's God's brokenness and God's sadness. And all of a sudden, there's a oppression that's in our house because of a language that we're using, because the power of the tongue has the power of life and death. And we're using it to bring death without knowing it. And I take full responsibility for that, babe. I'm not running to throw you under the bus there. It was all me. And then I began to notice that this was happening. I began to notice that this is kind of a downward spiral. And I began to get really uncomfortable with the atmosphere and the culture that our house had fallen into. When I say our house, I don't mean Bethel Church. And I don't even say that it was during Bethel Church. But in our family's atmosphere, in the culture of our particular family. And I remember God said to me, Matt, turn to Isaiah 40. And I turned to Isaiah 40, and you know, it's that scripture of even youths grow tired and weary, and young men utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like eagles. And then I went, whoa, and I went into this encounter where I was on the back of this eagle. And I've had a few encounters where I end up on the back of this eagle. But I'm on the back of this eagle, and I feel like there's this atmosphere of oppression that's like not just in my head, it's physically in the atmosphere. But in this encounter, I feel like I'm being lifted up out of the oppression into a space of thinking that's clear and free, where I can actually see what's really there. And I'm up in this place, and I'm on the back of this eagle, and God says to me, he says, tell me what's going on, man. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm being vulnerable with the Lord. And I'm in my vulnerability, I'm unintentionally, again, backstabbing this person. And it's not a passive backstabbing. It's not intentional, and it's very easy for it to slip under the radar, because you can't often diagnose that that's actually backstabbing when it's happening, because it's done under the disguise of honor. And I'm talking about myself here, not anyone else. This is me I'm talking about. And so I'm up there and I'm talking, and he says to me, Matt, this person you're talking about is your brother. And I realize I'm in like a Cain and Abel situation here. And he says, he's not only your brother, he's also my son. And you made a decision to protect what's precious to me, and you're not protecting what's precious to me. And he said, this is what I want you to do when you feel pain towards someone else, because you will. Before you talk to one other human about that person, now I'm saying that, and I'm saying, let me step over here. Side note, in this church, we have a culture of vulnerability, which is healthy. I want to keep the culture of vulnerability. But I want our culture of vulnerability to be held in a safe place, not a dangerous place. And I don't want backstabbing to happen under the disguise of healthy vulnerability. Because I had noticed that in my life, there have been moments, and I'm sharing one of them, where I slipped into that. And if I can slip into it, then probably you can slip into it too. And he said to me, before you talk to one other human about anybody that you're ever in pain with, I want you to come up here first. And I want you to hear how I see them first. You do not have permission to talk about another human that you haven't seen my perspective on. You do not have permission to talk about another human that has hurt you or not hurt you, unless you have first of all heard what I have to say about that other human. And when you have heard my perspective, it will align your perspective and you will be empowered to then process your pain from that place. Because there is a perspective that we can process our pain from. There is a dangerous perspective that is full of confusion and oppression, and there is a safe perspective that is up there that is God's perspective. And when you can see and feel and experience God's heart for someone, even though you're in pain and they've hurt you, when you can feel that and you can experience that and that becomes alive on the inside of you, it doesn't mean your pain goes away. It doesn't mean you're all of a sudden not offended. But what it means is this person is important to the most important person to me. And even if I'm in pain and even if I'm offended at them, I'm protecting God's heart by protecting them. And it puts you in a safe place. It puts you in a powerful place. I noticed that when that happened, now I'm, you know, this is a whole year, guys. Sometimes it's hard to break a habit, you know. Sometimes it's hard when you've been in a downward spiral to spiral back up again all of a sudden. And it's really hard to do that on your own. In fact, I think in many cases it's impossible. But for those who wait on the Lord, He will rise you up on wings like eagles. And He just changes something on the inside of you. He will just change something on the inside of you. You have to take the time to wait, but when you take the time to wait, He will change something on the inside of you. He will change the way you see. Eagles see. There's a perspective up there that isn't the same down here. And when that happened for me, and He said, I want to share with you about this person. This person is not perfect. This person doesn't get it all right. This person needs help, but this person is precious. And this person is on a precious journey. And I want you to honor this person. And He started to share all these truths and all these things with me about the situation. And it was so empowering. And after that encounter, I opened my eyes. And all of a sudden, it was like there was just grace to deal with the pain. There was grace to deal with the issue. And everything started to shift. It stopped going down and it started going up. And everything changed. Everything changed. So here's what I want to say to you. I don't believe it was just an isolated Matt Lansdowne thing that God said to me, but I want to submit this to you, and you can either receive this or not. No one in this room is going to make you receive it. Not even God is going to make you receive it. But I want to give you an opportunity to receive this if this is something that you want to receive. I want to encourage you as one of the leaders in this church that this is a good idea to receive. This is a good idea. If you receive this for this year, this is a great way to start the year. And here's what it is. Again, I'm not saying this with any forcefulness. I'm not making you do this. I don't have the power to make you do this because you're a powerful person. But here's what I want to give you, what God gave me. You do not have permission to talk about another human being that God loves without hearing His perspective on that human. There is a healthy place to be vulnerable from, and there is an unhealthy place to be vulnerable from. I want a vulnerable culture. I want a culture of vulnerability in this church. I believe it's the only way we can truly move forward with authenticity. But I want that vulnerability to be held in a safe place and in honor of God's heart that He's put in our chest. Does that make sense? Awesome. Huh? Miracle. I finished before time. It's only 17 minutes past 11. Amazing. Jesus. Yeah, so I just want you to close your eyes. I just want to pray for you. Jesus, I thank You that every person in this room is loved. Every person in this room, whether they feel it or not, is safe. Every person in this room either is or has the opportunity to be eternally secured in your heart, in your arms, Lord. And God, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for your commitment to us. We thank you for your trust towards us, God. We thank you for your decision towards us. We thank you for choosing us, God. We thank you for adopting us, God. We thank you for picking us. God, we thank you for knowing everything about us, knowing all of our strengths and all of our weaknesses, knowing all of our history and all of our past, and also knowing all of our future, and still picking us. And we thank you, God, you've chosen to pick us before the beginning of time, knowing everything. And so we thank you, God, that we're chosen. And because we've been chosen by you, we can now choose you. And so many of us in this room have chosen you. Possibly everyone in this room has chosen you, Lord. And God, this is so good. This is so good. Lord, I thank you that there are things that are precious to you. And those things we now say are precious to us, including every person that we will ever meet is precious to you. And God, I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, that on the inside of every person's heart, mind, and body, soul right now, and inside people's emotions, inside people's beings right now in this room, God, that you would take your anointing oil out and just massage it onto people's hearts right now, Holy Spirit, and massage a softness into their hearts, a softness into my heart, Lord, a softness into our hearts that we could truly, truly, truly love with a love that breaks offense, love with a love that is disarming to offense. An invincible love. God, your love is invincible. It is unfailing. I pray that that same love would be in us. God, I pray right now that you would take people and show people the way that you see. The way that you look at people. And if there's someone that you're hurt by or offended with right now, the funniest thing in the world would be if that's me and you're having to receive this message from me and now you're doing this. But if you're offended and in whatever part of the scale of offense, whether you're 100% offended to the core of your being or whether you're 1% offended, oh, just a little niggle, just a little niggle. But if you're offended at someone, I just want you to think about that person right now. I want you to hold that person in your heart because I can tell you this with certainty. That person is in your heart because God's heart is in your heart. And that person is in God's heart, therefore that person is in your heart. I want you to think about that person right now. It might be your dad who beat you up when you were 5 years old. It might be a friend that said something nasty about you last week. It might be an ex-employer that ripped you off. Whatever it might be, just think if there's anyone that's offended you, anyone that's hurt you, anyone that's caused you pain, intentionally or unintentionally. I just want you to think about that person right now, and I just want you to walk in your mind's eye, in your imagination, in your spirit right now, to walk with that person to Jesus. To just stand before Jesus alongside that person and to just to say, Jesus, would you show me your perspective for this person? Would you show me what you see? Would you show me what you see? And know this, Jesus will never side with your offense. Joshua goes up, meets the angel, and he says, are you for us or against us? And the angel says, I'm neither for you nor against you, but I'm from the Lord. God doesn't pick sides. But he stands on both sides all the time. He will always stand on both sides. Your enemies are not necessarily God's enemies unless they're the devil. He always stands on both sides. And he wants to show you the sides that he's standing on. Thank you, Jesus. Shift our perspective on people. And I just want you to, if there's someone that you would like to forgive right now, and I just fail to do this at the risk of it being a little bit vulnerable, but we've got a culture of vulnerability. If there's someone that you would like to forgive this morning and just say, you know what, I'm just going to make a call this morning. This person does not owe me a thing. They've taken from me. They've hurt me. They've caused me pain. But I'm letting all of that debt go right now. And I'm not going to hold a debt over their head anymore. I'm going to let them go free. I'm going to forgive them. If there is someone that you need to forgive, the best way to enter into any new season is to enter with a clean slate. And if you need to forgive someone or you'd like to forgive someone, I just want to ask you to stand up right now. And without even the aid of music, which I think is actually a good aid, but without even the aid of music, what I'm going to ask you to do is just get in a space in your spirit right now. Get in a space where you're standing right now, in your inner world, where you're just aware of Jesus. It doesn't mean you're necessarily feeling him physically, but maybe you are. But where you're just conscious that you're standing before Jesus right now. Where you're choosing to be conscious, Jesus, you're listening and you're aware of what's happening in this room. You're with me right now in this moment. And I want you to feel the pain that that person's caused you. I know that might sound a bit weird, but I just want you to actually feel, I want you to feel the reality of this has not been nice. And there I'm annoyed, I'm angry, I'm whatever feeling you want to add in the gap there. I'm disappointed, I'm whatever negative feeling you can put the word in there yourself, but I'm feeling that right now. And I just want you to take all those feelings in your hands. I want you to take all of that offense, all of the justification for your offense, all of the justification for your unforgiveness, all of the valid reasons why this person owes you something. Some of you are like, well, I could forgive them if they could just say sorry. No, you let go of that need for a sorry. That's what forgiveness is. They don't owe me anything. I let them go free from the debt. They are now debt free. They were in debt because they owed me something, but now they owe me nothing because I choose to forgive. I want you to think about what that debt is. I want you to hold it in your hand. And I just want, when you're ready, I just want you to put that in the hand of Jesus right now. And I want you just to let it go. Just to frozen. Let it go. Just to let it go. Just to let it go. And you find when you let that go, man, you'll feel some lightness on your shoulders. Just let that go. In whatever way you want to right now. And whatever way works for you right now. You know, some of you might want to just come up the front and just lay it on the front. Some of you might want to stay in your chairs and just give it into the hands of Jesus. Whatever works for you, just let it go. Just make that heart decision right now. Let it go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that as we go into 2019, we go into 2019 free people. Not bound in offense and unforgiveness, but free. We choose freedom and we let go of debt. Thank you, Lord. We choose to be lovers of people and protectors of your heart. We choose to use our tongue wisely for life and not for death. We choose to protect our conversations about other people, and we choose to always get your perspective first. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Just as you're standing there as well, I just want to do one more thing, and then we're going to finish on time. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, you've never met Jesus, you don't know him, you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, I want you to know this. God loves you so much. Jesus died on a cross to show you the love of God. He died on a cross so that you wouldn't need to face death anymore. He died on a cross to break death off of your life now and for the rest of eternity. And he loves you and he wants to know you. He wants to be in your world. He wants to be in your life. And so if you're here and you don't know Jesus and you would like to begin a relationship with Jesus today, I just want you to quickly lift your hand in the air. Just put your hand on the awesome man. Thanks for responding down the back. It's amazing. Wonder if Richard and Alex, if you guys just down the back here, on the back corner there, there's a man that just responded. If you could just go pray with him, that'd be amazing. He's wearing the, just down the back corner with the black t-shirt there. Yeah, these guys are just going to come pray with you, buddy, and I'm going to pray with you, man. Thanks for responding, mate. Awesome. Good call. Thank you, Jesus. So you put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you just as we finish this morning. And just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your relentless love for me. Thank you that you've never given up on me. Thank you that your love hunts me down every day of my life. God, thank you that you love my neighbor. Thank you that you love the person whose shoulder my hand is on. I pray that you show me how much you love them. I want to feel how much you love people. I want to experience your love for people. People who are easy to love. And people who offend me. Today, I choose to have no human enemies. I will refuse to have a human enemy in 2019. Because God, you do not have any human enemies. I will make the devil my enemy. Amen. Awesome, guys. Well, welcome to 2019. It's going to be a great year. There's tea and coffee down the back, I think. And just as you are leaving, I want to share one quick notice that we forgot to share. And I just remembered right now. And that is our very, very, very good friend, Connor Schramm from Canada, who is an incredible worship leader. He's in my top five preachers in the world, along with like Bill Johnson and those guys. And he is just a genius. He's been here before. And he's coming, not this week, but the next week, he'll be with us in Whangarei. And on Friday the 18th, he's going to be leading a worship night here at church. So put that in your calendar, Friday the 18th. And then also on Sunday the 20th, before Eric comes, he's going to be taking the Sunday service. So just wanted to let you know about that so that you can begin to invite your friends and all the rest of it. So God bless you. Have an amazing week. Love you. Get some waves, get some fish, get some sun, and hang out with good people. Amen.